So today's reading is on the transfiguration of Christ. It's the day when Jesus clearly becomes more than a man. Up to this point, his disciples have been following him around. He's the rabbi, the teacher, the one they're trying to learn from. But in this moment, they see he has changed. It's also a moment when it's quite clear that God is trying to tell them something. He's trying to tell the whole world something. And hopefully we're all listening to it. Now, I want to share with you a little video clip about this idea of God talking to us. I'll give a little background for it. If any of you remember the movie The Color Purple or read the book, this is the scene when Shug, who happens to be the pastor's daughter, who has left, you know, left the fold, left the life, she's gone out, she's getting ready to sing at a speakeasy, the bar, basically, on a Sunday while church service is going on. So just watch the video.
I beg to think I don't know nothing.
All of us been prodigal children at one time or another.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I tell you, children, it's possible for the Lord to drive you home. But he can drive you home to truth. And he can fix it for you if you trust him.
Shh. Listen. God's trying to tell you something.
Y'all sing God's trying to tell you something.
Sing God.
Sing God's trying to tell you something.
To me.
Speak, Lord.
Oh, speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Won't you speak to me?
Speak, Lord.
I'm so blind.
Speak to me.
I was so lost.
Speak, Lord.
Until you spoke to me.
Lord,
say, Daddy, sinners have soul too.
I wish I could sing like that. And it's a scene full of joy when she comes back. The Transfiguration is like that. It's certainly a moment when God is trying to tell us something. And in that moment, Jesus and his disciples have climbed to the mountaintop. And there in front of them are the biggest heroes of the Hebrews. I like that alliteration. You got Elijah and Moses, and Jesus is there with them. It's signaling that he's really important. He's not just the man that they've been following. And even more than that, Jesus is filled with this light. His clothes, from the version we read this morning, become amazingly bright, brighter than if they had been bleached white, which in those days was pretty unusual considering they walked on these dusty paths everywhere. But this truly marks him as something special, as the superstar. You know, Jesus Christ Superstar, that whole thing. He is something more than anyone has ever seen before. God is showing us something of the glory to come in Christ. And Peter witnesses this miraculous sight, and immediately he wants to do something. He offers to take action, to build shrines, one for each of them up there, to show that Jesus belongs with Moses and Elijah. And we're told that he does this because he doesn't know what else to do. Peter is one of those people who has to act. It's like so many of us in our everyday lives. We see something and the first thing we think about is what do we do? We have to act. We put ourselves in motion and we get so busy that sometimes we miss the message. And that's what God does here to Peter. He slows him down. That cloud overshadows them and the voice comes booming out of the sky. This is my son, the beloved one, I am well pleased with him. Listen to him. Stop building. Stop trying to do something and listen first. It's pretty clear God is trying to tell Peter something. He's trying to tell him to take the time to listen and to learn and to let the words of Jesus penetrate beyond our ears. Let them really reach down into our very souls and let those words transform us in the way that Jesus himself is being transformed that day. If we listen to what God is saying and to what Jesus is going to say in his ministry, our understanding of the world and the world itself can be transformed. And no matter what life has thrown at us, no matter how we may have reacted to those situations in the past, God is making a new promise with us. At this moment, he's telling us we can all find reconciliation. We can all find love in God. But first we have to stop and listen and hear what God is telling us. That's what happens to Shug in this, that's the woman's name in this clip, Shug Avery. She's there, ready to sing at the juke joint. That was the word I was looking for before. She's at the juke joint on Sunday. She couldn't be further away from church. The ultimate sinner, especially since she's the pastor's daughter. Oh, what shame this brings to him. And as she's singing her own song about speak to me or listen to me speak, she hears the choir in the distance. And in that moment, God reaches her through the choir. And she begins to listen. She stops what she's doing. And you can see in the scene when she walks up to the Lawrence Fishburne character, her boyfriend, and she's like, I have to go. I have to change who I am. She responds to that voice of God simply because she stopped long enough to really listen and to let God's voice reach into her. As I think about this passage of Transfiguration, it always hits home to me because I'm like Peter. I'm the kind of person that something needs to get done, let's get going and do it. Let's build what needs to be built. Let's help the people on the street. Let's do everything that needs to be done. But do I always take time to stop and think first, why am I doing it? Or what's the best way to do it? Or what is God really telling me is needed? Instead of being ready to jump at a moment's notice and take action, there always needs to be that time to stop and listen to God first and to try and discern what is God saying. That's hard to do. Imagine Peter there. He's just seen this tremendous sight. He's just seen Elijah and Moses appear before him. And his first response is to do something. That's not what most of us would do. What would you guys do if Moses and Elijah suddenly appeared up there? Half of us would probably be hiding under the benches, shaking, cowering, praying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what's going on? But most of us wouldn't stand up and immediately say, let's go build something. But that's who Peter is. And that may be why Peter is the one eventually that Jesus chooses to build the church upon, because he knows there are going to be those times when you're just going to have to stand up and take action. But at this moment, God is trying to tell Peter, slow down first. Listen. God is trying to tell you something. God saying, I'm trying to tell you something, Peter. Listen to this guy. And sometimes we all need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded to listen for the deep meaning of everything that Jesus would go on to talk about in his ministry. We need to really internalize those messages and make them our way of life completely. And it's so easy to say, I'm going to do this piece or this piece or this piece, but do we really internalize the entire message and make it how we live each moment of our day? That's what God's trying to tell us. So as we head out into Lent, perhaps it's an appropriate time for us to really think about that message on the mountain that day. This is my son. I am pleased with him. Listen to him. We have that opportunity to listen again and again each day, to consider the message more fully, and to try and comprehend what that message really means in our lives, and to make really living it out in everything we do a part of our everyday life. And to recognize that we're not going to be perfect, but we keep listening and we keep trying. And the reason we can do that is because God loves us when we fail. God loves us when we don't listen. God loves us every moment of every day, no matter who we are or where we're from or what we do in our lives. If we open our hearts to that message, then we know the truth of God's plan for God's world, a plan where everyone is welcomed and loved, and where we'll be reaching out to all those around us, sharing the love of Christ, the message of reconciliation with our God, and the joy that our life is redeemed by God's love. And what really could be better news than that? Amen.